If we look hard enough, we can find stories of women in the Bible that exemplify the very essence of God's love and action in the world. Their stories are often overshadowed or overlooked by the stories of male characters. So today I'm going to highlight the brilliance of the women in this story. In this text, there are stories of five women who stand out for their bravery, shining brilliantly against a backdrop of oppression. The Hebrews had become a significant ethnic group, living settled and prosperous lives in the fertile delta region of Egypt. We are told in verse 7 of Exodus 1 that the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. Now the Pharaoh, who doesn't know that many generations ago it was Joseph, a Hebrew, who saved Egypt from famine and drought, decides that the Israelites are too much of a threat and puts them to work as slaves. He needed just the right number of Hebrews to be slaves, but not too many that they could overpower his own army and forces. But they kept multiplying. And that's when the Pharaoh got really mean and ordered that all the Hebrew boys be killed the moment that they were born. Of course, to do this, he needed cooperation of the midwives. So here enters Shifra and Puah. Shifra and Puah devise a very ingenious plan to not follow these orders. And they do this, it says, because they obey a higher law, the law of God. They will not kill a baby boy because it is against the will of God. They defy the Pharaoh and his unjust law. At some point, the Pharaoh sees that the population is still growing. So when the midwives are finally brought back before the Pharaoh and challenged about not doing the job he asked of them, they claim that the Hebrew women, as opposed to the Egyptian women, are too fast at birthing. And by the time they get to the household, the Hebrew women have already given birth and hidden the baby. Their second act of defiance. These women, in many ways, were the midwives to the entire people of Israel, midwives to the Israelites' journey from bondage to freedom, midwives even of civil disobedience in the name of a greater good. Even in the face of genocide, a scourge that remains present in our world, the saving power of these two women was immense. And they and the entire nation were blessed. Their defiance sets the stage for a greater purpose, demonstrating that sometimes civil disobedience in the name of justice is the highest form of obedience to God. The women's Bible commentary suggests that the midwives are the only women in the book of Exodus that act in an overtly political sphere. They are the first to assist in the birth of the Israelite nation, and they understand the connection between transformation and risk. Next, we meet the mother of Moses, Jochebed. Jochebed has given birth and has successfully hidden her baby for 3 months, but he's getting too big, too noisy, too hard to hide. And by now, the Pharaoh has issued a new order, realizing that he's not going to get what he wants from his first plan. So if a Hebrew baby boy does survive a birth, now anyone who finds a Hebrew baby boy must throw him into the Nile River. Trying to save this baby's life and defy Pharaoh's laws, Jochebed crafts a small basket and sets him afloat in the river, praying for his safety. It's a heart-wrenching decision that encapsulates a mother's love and the lengths she'll go to protect her child. Jochebed's act of placing her hope in the unknown currents of the Nile echoes the ways in which we must sometimes entrust our loved ones to uncertain paths, relying on faith to carry them to safety. She asks the baby's sister to keep watch, to make sure nothing bad happens to the baby. And they put the baby in the river. And now we meet Miriam, the big sister. Miriam watches as the Pharaoh's daughter approaches the river, and to Miriam's horror, the baby starts crying and the basket is found. The Pharaoh's daughter picks up the baby and declares that she will keep him. Miriam has to think fast. She goes over to the princess and says, "You're going to need someone to nurse that baby. I know a Hebrew woman who can nurse him for you." How smart is that? A stroke of brilliance, not to mention incredible courageousness in even speaking to the princess. In this moment, we witness how a young girl's innovation can change the course of events. Miriam's boldness demonstrates that age and social status are no barriers to the pursuit of justice and compassion. And the Pharaoh's daughter, we don't know her name, a princess, takes her up on the offer. Miriam runs to get her mother. The princess gives the baby back to his mother, then says, "I'll pay you to nurse him." And then we are told that Moses' mother actually gives him back to the princess when he grows older, who then raises him as her son. Now let's examine the Pharaoh's daughter for a moment. She realizes instantly that the baby is one of the Hebrew babies. And she is under orders, as is everyone, to automatically kill the baby, to throw him in the river, but she doesn't. And that's her first act of defiance. She knows her father's law is unjust. Perhaps she realizes that she can't save all the babies, but she thinks, "I can save this one baby." And she actually agrees to pay the Hebrew woman to nurse him, to keep him alive. That's her second act of defiance. And she eventually brings him into the palace as her own, her father's hated enemy. She brings him into his own household, her third act of defiance. Five women who, at great risk to their own personal safety, conspire to save a child. And the child is Moses, the person who will lead the Israelites from slavery. In every generation, there is a struggle for some to survive, and a struggle for others to refuse to live comfortably while their siblings are engulfed by the storms of life. But there is more to it, because the story pushes us farther, opens our eyes wider, prods us to use our heads, to open our hearts, to accept God's call to let God do what God wants to do with and through us. In this Exodus passage, God intervened through the actions of bold midwives refusing to be party to genocide, through the actions of a desperate mother and vigilant sister, through the compassion of a stranger. God not only answered the prayer of their hearts, but the prayer of a new nation, counting on the promises that would be handed down to them. These women are part of a lineage that connects with the teachings of Jesus. His life, too, was characterized by standing against the oppressive forces of his time, healing the broken and uplifting the marginalized. The echoes between these ancient stories and Jesus' ministry underscore a timeless truth. God's concern for the oppressed, the marginalized, and the downtrodden remains constant throughout history. As we reflect on these stories, let us recognize the extraordinary within the ordinary, the bravery within the mundane, and the divine within the human. Let us take heart in the truth that our lives, no matter how seemingly small, can be instruments of God's transformative work. And let us remember that just as these women's stories have been reclaimed and amplified, we must continue to amplify the voices of women today, listening to their experiences, stories, and wisdom. Now, is there any way we can weave together the powerful narratives of ancient biblical heroines with the modern-day struggle for female empowerment and the fight against patriarchy? In the passage from Exodus, we've already witnessed the incredible bravery of women who stood against injustice, defying authority in the name of God's greater purpose. But our exploration does not stop there. We find echoes of these themes in unexpected places, including in the narrative surrounding Barbie, a cultural icon that has both perpetuated and challenged traditional gender roles. Never in my imagination did I think I would be standing in a pulpit preaching about Barbie. But here we are. The new movie this summer, directed by Greta Gerwig, has taken the world by storm. And although promoted as a fun, nostalgic hour and a half of entertainment, it is full of deeper messages. I loved playing with Barbies as a kid, especially my Spice Girl Barbie dolls. There's a famous story in our family that my Nana gifted me with the 5 Spice Girl Barbies one year, and then leaned in to tell me to not open the boxes because they will be worth more money one day. My 7-year-old self, with no care or understanding for financial matters, had none of that. Barbie, created by Ruth Handler in 1959, started as a blonde, glamorous doll that embodied a very particular notion of femininity. It seemed to convey a message that a woman's value lay primarily in her appearance and adherence to conventional beauty standards. However, Barbie's journey through time also mirrors a societal shift in thinking. The Barbie movie, under the direction of Greta Gerwig, seeks to reclaim and redefine Barbie's image, transforming her into a feminist icon that challenges the very patriarchy she once seemed to uphold. Without giving too much away, The Barbie movie begins with all the Barbies living in Barbie Land, where everything is pink and perfect. Barbies have their own money, houses, jobs, they run the Supreme Court, and the Kens, meanwhile, are there as accessories to the Barbies. The Barbies, as the movie states, think that by their existence, they have solved all the problems of feminism in the real world. Due to some reasons I won't get into, one of the Barbies and Kens, played by Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, find themselves in the real world, where the reality of things confronts both of them. Barbie, feeling anxiety, shame, self-consciousness, and tears for the first time, has a direct opposite experience to Ken in the real world, who feels powerful, strong, appreciated, and masculine for the first time. Their roles have reversed. And this will have catastrophic consequences when they bring that reality back to Barbie Land. Gerwig's vision of Barbie is one of depth, complexity, and empowerment. It's a reminder that women's stories are multi-dimensional and cannot be neatly boxed into predefined roles. Gerwig's approach reflects the growing recognition that women's empowerment doesn't mean rejecting femininity, but rather embracing it in all its forms. Barbie, traditionally a symbol of an unrealistic and narrow version of femininity, is reimagined as a figure who embodies a diversity of strengths, passions, and careers. The transformation challenges not only the patriarchal notions perpetuated by the original Barbie, but also the societal norms that limit women's potential. So what lessons can we draw from these intertwined narratives of ancient heroines and modern reimagining? We're reminded that true empowerment means confronting the societal norms that seek to limit us. It means daring to challenge the patriarchal structures that have held us back, held us all back, not just women. It means standing against injustice, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds. The stories of midwives, the mothers, the sisters, and the princesses resonate with the stories of women today, who continue to break barriers, defy expectations, and demand a place at the table. The spirit of empowerment runs like a thread connecting the past to the present, inspiring us to be agents of change in our own lives and communities. The ancient women may have all shared what we call a woman's intuition, a sense of knowing what is right and what is just. And for them, it was also what is godly. And at the end, that is what guided them, not societal norms and comfort. And this is also true for the Barbie movie. There's a scene in the movie where a character delivers to Barbie the entire critique of Barbie, that she's been making women feel bad for 50 years. Gerwig was interested in humanizing Barbie, so plays the slippery magic trick of the movie, which is acknowledging that Barbie might still be playing some sort or some part in making little girls feel like they have to look a certain way, be a certain size, or be a certain kind of woman. And the way that Gerwig does that is by creating the whole movie as an almost metatextual writing the wrongs of Barbie. She talked about this explicitly. If Barbie has made people feel bad, like they're not good enough. The only thing she could think to do was make people feel good enough. As we celebrate the courage of Shifra, Pua, Jochebed, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, and the reimagined Barbie, let us also honor the women of our time who carry on their legacy of empowerment. Let us support one another in our individual journeys of defiance against injustice and in our collective struggle to dismantle the patriarchal structures that persist. May we find strength in the small acts of resistance, courage in the face of adversity, and inspiration in the stories of women who dare to challenge the status quo. As we embrace our own empowerment, may we continue to rewrite the narrative of our world, reshaping it into a place where all individuals, regardless of gender, can thrive, flourish, and live in equality. Amen.